Good morning, everyone. You're listening to the World Teacher Program for Share International New Zealand on Planet FM 104.6. Each Friday morning, we bring you information from the teachers of the Ageless Wisdom. The purpose of our program is to introduce Maitreya, the world teacher for the Age of Aquarius. Maitreya does not come alone. He brings with him the Masters of Wisdom, a group of highly evolved teachers. They work in many fields and can teach us the art of living, how to live in right relationship with each other. With their inspiration, we can transform our civilization, creating justice and peace for us all.
Morning and welcome to the program. Today I'm going to be reading out parts one and two of a selection of questions and answers from an interview with Benjamin Krem. This was republished in the latest issues of Share International magazine. The themes covered during these interview excerpts are the environment, politics, new forms of energy, and the theme of unity in diversity. And here's the first question from the interviewer, who's called Bonnie Piper. At a conference in Costa Rica concerning the environment, Dr. Robert Mueller from the United Nations said that we have a very limited time to deal with the environmental catastrophes threatening the planet at this time. I'm wondering what you say about that. Mr. Krem's reply, apart from the number one absolute priority of saving the starving millions of the world, Maitreya has made the environment the priority of our time, and he said it must involve every man, woman, and child. Everyone must do something to save this planet from the destruction which we're causing. He says, there is no difference between you and the planet. There is a total continuity of atomic structure through the whole of creation. Every atom is related to every other atom. So when we despoil the planet as we are doing, we're actually destroying our own life. One day we will realize that the one we call God, nature, the environment or humanity are one. And the same, they are interrelated so intimately that you cannot divide one from the other. So it behoves us to look after the planet. And the next question. What you are saying is somewhat in alignment with ideas in recent books that have come out through books like The Global Brain, that in a sense, the Earth is our body. Mr. Krem's reply, indeed, we are part of the expression of a great divine being, a heavenly man who ensouls this planet, whose body of expression is the planet and everything in it, including ourselves. We are thought forms in the mind of that creating logos, and the logos doesn't make a division between humanity, the animal kingdom, the vegetable and mineral kingdoms, the environment, the air. All are closely related. One cannot exist without the other. It is a dream on the part of the Logos to bring all of that to perfection. And unfortunately, for a very long time, we have been gradually despoiling our planet. This process is speeding up to a really dangerous extent. It has to be rectified. And Bonnie's next question is the greenhouse effect. A real threat. It is indeed a real threat. The temperature is getting hotter and hotter. But Maitreya said this will be rectified. We are very adaptable. This is the beauty of the human species. We have, according to the esoteric knowledge, survived for 18.5 million years. And that powerful survival has not totally deserted us. We will adapt and we will create conditions in which we can properly live. So you think we can turn this around? It may take 20 or 30 years to properly do it, but we will. And, of course, with Maitreya, the world teacher, and a large group of his disciples, the masters of wisdom, working openly with us, advising us, teaching us, this process will be speeded up enormously. Bonnie Piper's next question. We're looking forward with the radio station, Radio for Peace, and other groups in joining others at a conference regarding the state of the earth. This is going to be, for the first time, a monumental conference where all the governments of the world and scientists will be coming together to say, we have a problem here, folks. What are we going to do? I really hope that we can see this time utilized in a positive way for healing our ailing mother. There's no government now on earth which can with impunity deny the evidence the scientists are providing, and I should say they are beginning to take notice. People should insist that their governments take action. I think that most people don't realize just how powerful they are in political terms. They can influence the government, they've got the vote. But governments will not move in this respect if it entails a large expenditure of money unless the people's will is heard. This will happen more and more. The best example is what happened in Germany with the coming down of the Berlin Wall, with the reunification of Germany, and the action of various groups in the Soviet Union bringing about perestroika. This shows the power of the people. People have enormous power, and Maitreya says that in the future, politics will change to government for the people, by the people. Nowhere does this truly pertain. Power groups for totalitarianism or in the political, economic or religious domains dominate the world at present, but it is changing fast. Next question or comment. Think about a time when our politicians are in service to the people and the planet. That's what is required, and Maitreya says that will come. Future politics will be for the people, by the people. The politicians will become the servants of their country. Next comment from Bonnie. It appears that although the world is coming together in many ways, in some ways, paradoxically, there's a lot of further fragmentation happening. Maitreya has something to say about that. As soon as political systems around the world die, tribalism and racism appear. It happens because politicians cannot solve the problems of their changing societies, so the people take the law into their own hands. But Maitreya says, this always leads to destruction. It is not a good thing, but it is an inevitable process as the forces of unity fall away and change occurs. And then those demagogues and opportunists look to take over power. But he also says that the culture of creation is diversity, and this is the basis of every nation and every religion. Try to remove these differences and you only provoke destruction. He says, that's why trade and commerce is so dangerous. And a quote from from his master, once you open the floodgates, the water will spread everywhere. They will be out of control, and that, in a sense, is doubly dangerous. As soon as you loosen the ties that bind, you release forces which very easily get out of control. Then it will take the power and the energy of the hierarchy to regain that kind of stability. Next question. Could you speak about this whole issue of unity and diversity, oneness and manyness, and also the process of the change itself? If I understand correctly, you're saying in the process of change itself, it may look like things are falling apart before they come back together in some form that's useful. Mr. Krems replied, precisely, if it is along the evolutionary plan, that which works against the evolutionary plan leads to destruction. That which is for the evolutionary plan is essentially unity in diversity. The absolute essence of individuality and personal creativity is basic to creation, but the aim of all evolution is towards unity. These two things have to go side by side, so that every expression of unification is with the total acceptance of the individual uniqueness of every person, and in a world sense, the uniqueness of every nation. The coming together of nations, federations, conglomerations must take place in a context of complete acceptance of the diversity of every single nation. All of us are governed as nations as well as individuals by certain great energies called rays, and these determine the quality of a particular nation. The rays governing France are not the same as the rays governing the United States, and there is no reason at all that they should imitate one another. Diversity is the very nature of life. It gives it its flavor. It gives it its richness, like a many-faceted jewel or a rich carpet or tapestry with all the different interweaving threads, which are all wonderful in themselves and together make a total harmony when they're expressing themselves in their original uniqueness. Next question. Perhaps another analogy would be a wonderful gourmet meal with different flavors. Yes. If it is so joined together that it makes a meal and not just a lot of different dishes. And Bonnie's comment, exactly, with what you have just said in mind, I'd like to hear a little about what you feel is the changing role of the United Nations. The United Nations, according to the Lord Maitreya, will gain and gain in power. It will be the most powerful voice in the future time, and it is now beginning to take a very powerful stand in relation to world problems, even interfering, if necessary, in the internal affairs of nations. And the next comment. Many people who are hearing what you just said regarding the United Nations may have a lot of fears come up. The fears of what the phrase one worlders or commies, people who want to have that sort of thing come true with what you're saying and the greater power of the United Nations, and have this incredible fear that somehow we're going to lose something, that it's a dangerous situation. Benjamin Krems replied, no, not at all. The United Nations will become the most powerful force in the world. It will be an agency. That's the point, not a government, but an agency through which all international problems will be resolved. So you're saying that it will, in some ways, empower us. It will empower each nation to be itself. At the moment, small nations can be dominated by great nations. That cannot pertain in the future. The United Nations has to become the watchdog of a new world order, which is for freedom and justice throughout the world. All nations would subscribe to the necessary force to quell local wars and to prevent the injustice of one group. What about demilitarization? It is not something that can happen overnight, but it can happen, perhaps quicker than people can imagine. The will has to be there, but of course there are many social factors. Millions of people are involved in the manufacturing of arms. To stop creating them will throw all of these people out of work. It takes time to adapt military potential to social needs, so it's a very complicated process. But the will is the first thing. People must feel safe. They must feel that they no longer need this huge arsenal. We should be tackling it, but we should also be tackling the results of the energies which are now infecting the commercialization of the world. We have something like that very locally, that thing very locally. I'll repeat that. We have something like that very thing locally. We have a military base that is being closed, and it feels like we are being challenged to find a peaceful way to use this huge facility. That's a social problem, but none of these problems are insurmountable if enough thought is given. If it were a new missile costing enormous amounts of money, an enormous number of man hours would be spent on creating it. Use the same number of man hours to solve the problem of peace, and we would very quickly solve these problems. It is a question of where you put your energy. The word that came to me, Benjamin, we need those who have the ability to help other nations in their transformations. Need to really take courage to take some action, don't you think? Absolutely. People are afraid of interfering in the affairs of other nations, but they do it over time if there is any economic gain to be got from it. Certainly, we are challenged at this time to be really in the moment, right here and right now, because there is so much change going on. You say in one of your articles in Share International that it is the experience of many that the world is speeding up. You have certainly addressed how astronomically powerful nuclear tests have been, and I'd like you to talk briefly about how they are creating earthquakes. There cannot be an underground nuclear explosion which is not followed by an earthquake. It so disturbs the vibration of the inner earth that an earthquake is inevitable. It need not be in the immediate vicinity. It could be something on the other side of the world. But an earthquake is inevitable. There are earthquakes caused by other factors, but the main factors are underground nuclear explosions. Of course, people don't realize how powerful they are. Next question. What do you get from your master or Maitreya about the situation with nuclear energy? Nuclear energy, as we use it now in the fission process, must be quickly dismantled as soon as possible and replaced by the fusion process. Until now, science has thought the fusion process too difficult. Recently, in fact, there was a breakthrough. Some scientists had created a megawatt of power or something like that by the fusion process. There is a very safe cold method, according to the master Joao Call, who gave the Alice Bailey teachings to the world, using a simple isotope of water. By a cold method of fusion, we can supply all the world's needs in the form of heat for energy and so on. Scientists are looking in the wrong direction. There have been reports recently about experiments with the fusion process. Rather simple, rather primitive, but nevertheless in the right direction, which have been poo-pooed by various science bodies because of the power, I think, of the establishment of the nuclear fission authorities throughout the world. And I'll just skip over to the last question and answer here. It sounds like a lot of what you're saying is that we need to not be partial, but to be whole. As Jesus said, be you therefore whole, even as your Father in heaven is whole. Indeed, it is a question of knowing who you are. Maitreya says, ask yourself who you are, and you will find you are identifying with one or another of these vehicles rather than with yourself. He says, the way to get in contact with the self is the practice of three things: honesty of mind, sincerity of spirit, and detachment. In this way, you gradually become aware of who, in fact, you are, God. People call it deity, the Father, the Lord, the Absolute, you know, all different terms for one and the same thing. We are that. And I want to close with a short quote from one of your master's articles. It's called The Pressure Mounts. We're watching the formation of new patterns of thought and feeling, of new awarenesses. And from these will flow the new forms, the relevant structures with which to better express the hopes and aspirations of all people. That's our program for today. I hope you enjoyed those excerpts from an interview from 1992 with Benjamin Cram. For more information, check out the website share-international.org. And if you've got any questions or comments, email us at sharenz@yahoo.com. Wishing you all a lovely week.